The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, BronxPinstripes.com proudly brings to you the most exciting Yankees podcast in the world, George's Box.
Welcome back to George's Box. I'm JJ.
I'm Nick.
And we've set the bar so far for the year. Worst day to be a Yankee fan. As we record this on Monday night, this is the worst day of the new season to be a Yankee fan.
If you could pick one combination of player and body part to be concerned about, this would be the worst possible one. You know, Judge's knee, Soto's quad, Stanton's hamstring, whatever combination or concoction you want to put together. Cole and elbow is by far exponentially the worst.
So what is the, has there been, it's 5:15 ish. Is there like a latest on where we stand on it?
There isn't. Essentially, they've already said they're not going to say anything until the end of the week, because so what happens is they'll get the results tomorrow. Then they need 48 hours for the PR team to meet with the doctors, to meet with Boone and formulate what they're going to tell the general public. And I think that's what's going to take the longest, not the actual MRI, but how they want to spin it. I would guess Friday.
All right. So we think Friday.
They'll know Tuesday, and we'll know Friday.
I feel like this came out of nowhere too. Like there wasn't any, like he left to start early or anything like that.
Well, it did creep into my mind. So he pitched Friday. I don't know. What was that? Like March 3rd or 4th or something, like 10 days ago. And then last week when it was coming up on like Wednesday, Thursday, I was like, oh, that's funny. Like he's not on his regular turn and they haven't said anything. And then today was kind of the panic moment.
Yeah, I had kind of thought the same. So I was looking like, when's Cole pitching again? You know, you just kind of hit that. Like, where are we? Because we're in the middle of spring training. Like, it's boring as shit for us, too. And you're just getting, you know, oh, Rodon went out and got shelled, and Nestor went out and got shelled. So you're like, wait, where's the happy feeling? And I was like, oh, maybe they're just mixing it up, you know, road games, you know, he doesn't want to travel, whatever, you know, you make up things in your head. But yeah, to hear that he's going in for an MRI on his elbow is very deflating. Because I said to my wife, I was like, Yankee season might be over. She was like, stop it, it's March. I was like, if Cole's elbow is, let's say worst case scenario, Cole needs Tommy John, season's over. Like,
yeah,
where do you trade Soto? Where do you trade Soto?
All the Soto excitement's gone. All the buzz is gone. Like everything, the air is just let out of the room completely. Unless they sign Snell. That's the only way to like get people back in. And I know Snell isn't as good as Cole, but it would help.
If Cole were to be out, I don't think you go get Snell. First of all, also Snell with the eyeballs, and now it's been more than 24 hours. Like, get fucked, dude.
Was that about the Cole MR? Did he know that Cole's elbow was hurt? Was that it?
No. I just think it's like, if you do that, I'm expecting within an hour an announcement that you're.
He's a clown. I mean, he's a goof. Yeah. Like, you can't expect much with him. Lower your expectations, I guess.
But, like, you know, if the Yankees got Snell and Cole is healthy, then it's like, well, we got a shot. If the Yankees get Snell without Cole, we're in a worse off position than if we had Cole and didn't get Snell. Like, we're still further back, except we're paying $80 million a year with like taxes on.
We're a little bit further back, but the flip side is you can't just punt the 1 year that we have Soto, which is kind of what sounds like what your plan is. Just pack it in, like
package Soto with Stanton's salary. Who's close to winning a World Series?
Rebuilding. The only good thing that's going to come out of this is that Cole, if it is worst case scenario, and I'm not going to use the words to begin with a T and a J, but if that does happen, he wouldn't opt out. It's the only good thing here.
Yeah.
Because this is the opt out year. But it sucks. There's no spin zone. There's no like, well, in some ways this could, no, like this sucks. Of all the guys I'd rather Judge be out for the year than Cole. Like, I'll say it.
Yeah. Because we have three Judges. There's only one Cole.
There's no doubt. And then look, when you miss on Yamamoto, this was always the fear. And look, this could happen to any team. Any team loses a top five pitcher, you're fucked. This isn't like a Yankee problem. He's irreplaceable. He just is.
Yeah. No, I mean, we've said for years that, you know, one of the good things about Cole is that he never gets hurt. That he probably doesn't even know like what the hell's going on. He's probably a lost puppy right now. A 30-year-old man, a lost puppy.
The timing's tough. I mean, there'd never be a good time, but like last year was a lost year. If this would have happened in like July or August of last year and he missed some meaningless games in September, that would have been fine, you know, whatever. This is really, and it seems like this happens with pitchers. Like, they're fine at the end of the season, they're fine all winter, and then you start throwing in March. It's like happened to Rodon last year, it happened with Montas last year, it happened with Nestor last year. It's something about getting ramped up in spring training that's clearly tough, I guess. I don't know.
Frankie Montas was a Yankee.
He was.
Gotta remind people that.
Oh God, this is so brutal. And so let's go to the context though. They didn't describe it as pain. They described it as he feels like he would if he had just thrown 100 pitches in mid-July. Like, he's taking longer to recover and bounce back. Like, he didn't feel a pop. And that's something good, I guess. I don't know. It's tough here. It's tough.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's one of those things where like, I don't think he's out for the season. I don't think it's a Tommy John situation. I bet there's some kind of fatigue or like a partial
irritation,
a strain, a partial tear where it's like, you know, we'll see him in May.
I was going to say but
will we ever see him, you know? Like, will he be him again?
If the UCL's intact and he rests and he follows the, you know, the doctor's orders and the physical therapy and stuff, I think we will. I mean, this does happen to other pitchers. And we're just not used to seeing it with Cole, but like good pitchers, you know, miss a month or two and come back and are fine. It does happen.
Yeah. Hey, listen, we're holding out for a Hail Mary on our Hail Mary of a season. We're double Hail Mary'd at this point.
It again, like any year would suck, but to have it be the one Soto year is what's killing me. Like, this was kind of the all in year. Like, any, you know, 21, 22, 23, if this happened, I feel like we could have swallowed it. This is really tough. Now, Andy Martino, who, for those that don't know, Andy Martino has a book coming out on Brian Cashman in like June. He's very plugged
in. All these guys have books coming out.
I know, but my point is that he's clearly getting his information from Cashman. And his quote is, the Yankees aren't overly concerned that he will miss an extended period of time. I know we can't trust the Yankees, but it's better than him saying the Yankees fear the worst.
I'll take it. I'll take that path. Everything's fine then.
You're right. They are all doing books. I mean, I guess that's the only way to really make money if you're a bait. I mean, because they don't make a crazy salary. So I guess if you want to make money as a baseball writer, you kind of have to write a book, right?
Yeah. I mean, how many books are these guys selling though? And I think that because of all the books they're trying to write, they tend to be bad at their actual job because they don't ask hard hitting questions because they want the interview.
I agree. And like, not to pick on Brian Hoke, but like the books that he comes out with
every fucking 10 minutes.
I don't have any interest. Like, dude, I'm celebrating Judge's season.
I'm driving home from a game. I'm on the GWB. He's got a book about the seventh inning. It's nonstop. He's just, oh, here's my daughter. She's slinging my book.
He did one on the 2020 season. Like, they played 60 games and sucked. What was there to write about? So yeah, no, it is. This is just horrible. I do think, like, if it is worst case scenario, I don't see any way that they don't sign one of Montgomery or Snell. Like, Boris is going to be, he's already all over Cashman.
I mean, well, this. Boris will know as soon as, you know, Cashman knows.
He'll know first. He'll probably.
They're going to find out at the exact same time. You know, it's his client.
Yeah, I saw some joking like, oh, maybe this is part of Boris's plan to drum up more interest in Snell. I'm like, I'm too depressed to laugh at that right now.
Yeah, I just don't think it's a. I mean, it's not a great situation, but yeah, I like to think that the season is not over yet, because if it were something more severe, I think it would have been like more of an immediate, you know. Like, he left the game.
Right, right.
He's scratched from a start. This feels like he pitched, he woke up sore in a way he hasn't been sore. Soreness maybe stuck around a little bit. Maybe we got to make, you know, a change. We need some rest. You know, there's a chance that, you know, maybe he misses the first go around in the rotation. And then the second go around, he's only got four innings in him. And
I mean, you're being really, I really like this optimism. I think the best case scenario is no, the UCL's intact. They no throw for 2 weeks, which would puts us at like March 25th. And then he ramps up for a month. Like, I think May 1st is the best case scenario. Because you got to remember, anytime you stop throwing, you got to restart all over, which is the most annoying part about pitcher injuries.
I think if he's on a no throw for 2 weeks, he's the type of pitcher and he has the cachet to not waste bullets in Scranton.
You're right. And he could even just come back and rehab as an opener.
Yeah. Like, if he came back, like, I'd rather, you know, three innings of Cole than three innings of, I don't even know who our sixth starter is.
You're right. And to be honest, even if this is a June, July situation with the lineup that they have and the expanded playoffs, I'm not going to be heartbroken. All right. They probably won't win the division, right? They'd still probably make the playoffs if he misses, let's call it 2 months with, and this is where the expanded playoffs help us.
Yeah. I mean, I still think that they're stupid, but yeah, I mean, there's more of a shot to just like to stick around and, you know, and if it's the opposite and he's not, you know, and he's out for the year, there's more teams that are available to take on Stanton's contract to get Soto for the rest of the year.
Oh, attach that and then you can maybe even try and sign
it. Yeah. Fuck prospects. We could trade for prospects. We don't know what to do with them anyway.
Yeah. I mean, you could, that's actually interesting. You attach Soto to Stanton and then you could try to re-sign him anyway. Yeah. It's actually not the a lot of these ideas that you come up with, I'm like, oh, is he actually serious? But that actually kind of makes sense.
I mean, because think about it, let's just say worst case scenario, Cole's out for the year, we are treading water barely, and like, let's say Cole's out for the year, Rodon's a piece of shit, Nestor's army of stars, we have like no all-star caliber starters. Like, we are fucked regardless of the lineup. And then you just say, like, hey, you take Stanton, you get Soto, you take Stanton and 3/4 of his salary. And you just go to Stanton and be like, we all hate you. No one here likes you. We have a burn book like Mean Girls where we all say mean things about you. Waive your no trade.
It would obviously be in the National League. You'd have to find a team like the Cubs or the Phillies. Like the Dodgers or the Braves are not going to, they're going to already be winning 110 games. But, you know, a team like the Cubs or the Phillies that's kind of in that next tier in the National League that needs to catch up with Atlanta or the Dodgers, that's a great way to do it. Honestly, it makes logical sense. I can't get there right now. It's fucking March 12th. Like, I waited all winter dreaming about the games that I was going to go to and all the fun that I was going to have. And I can't get there yet. You mentioned prospects, Peraza, it looks like is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks with a shoulder injury. This is right on schedule for his value to go to zero and get DFA'd in 2026.
Yeah. We'll just like, we'll bring him up. We'll bring him back. We'll bring him up. We'll bring him down. At some point, maybe 2025, Volpe's going to be out for like 2 weeks in June. He's going to come in. Peraza is going to play some great shortstop. But then like someone will get hurt. Whoever our third baseman is at that time will need a couple of days. And then Peraza will play terribly. And then we'll hold on to him at the deadline. And then we'll DFA him.
Yeah. Exactly. Or no, they'll shuttle him. They'll use up all the options too. Like they'll bring him up. They'll give him 3 at-bats over 10 games and be like, oh, he went 0-3. Like he can't hack it here, and then send him back down.
Yeah.
It's the Andujar Frazier model. You know, I mean, my issue here is now Oswaldo Cabrera is going to probably be the backup shortstop. And this guy just can't fucking hit at all. Like at all. He is a automatic ground out to second base. Every time he gets in there, I think he hit like 205 last year or something. Like, he's a guy I don't need to see on the field really ever.
You know what, though? I'm fine with that. Get fucking, let's run our shortstop out there every fucking day. That's what I've wanted. That's what we kind of had last year. Run him out there every day.
And maybe he's 22. He can do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe we trade for IKF, but either way, you run him out there, play 155 games. You're 12 years old. You're just having a good time at the ballpark. Fucking go nuts. You mentioned him. Isn't it crazy that Clint Frazier is out of baseball?
It is. Yeah. If you would have told me that in 2017 or whatever, it's nuts. He was last with the White Sox.
He was with the White Sox last year.
Yeah, man, this game will, it'll chew you up and spit you out if you don't produce.
Yeah. He was with the Rangers for spring training last year. And then AAA got like released in late April, picked up by the White Sox, minor league, came up for a bit, went to free agency, nothing. Like not even, his name's not even, you know, you Google it and you click news. The only like recent news is at some point earlier this year, like a blog was like, Red should sign him.
Jeez, he was the 5th pick in his draft. He probably got a nice signing bonus.
Yeah, like a top 7 mil. Pick.
Yeah, so I mean, like, you can make that work.
Yeah.
He'll do something like with sneakers or baseball cards or something.
It's interesting because like he's gone pretty quiet online. Like he was ramping up the sneaker stuff almost as if he saw it coming. But then, yeah, he hasn't gotten the opportunity. I haven't talked to his agent in a while. I've been meaning to ask, like, what's up? Is he just done?
It is crazy with that swing. Like he had such a quick... Like we always joke about Brian Cashman, the legendary bat speed quote, but he had the swing looked awesome, you know, quote unquote.
It was so fast.
Yeah.
It was so fast.
And like when he would connect and pull a home run and be like, oh, this is repeatable. Like he's going to hit 30 bombs a year. He got out of there
in a hurry.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of, I was thinking too, I know we're all over the place.
Yeah.
Juan Soto, watching him hit, he makes it look so easy that I'm even like, I could do that. That's fucking, look how easy he makes it look. Like, if you see everyone else, you know, how long we've been watching sliders down and away, when, you know, Judge would swing and miss him, Stanton can't swing at it. Soto's like form too. Something he's just like fully pulling off to just hit like a high fastball fucking deep. And it's just so effortless. And I'm just like, oh, I could do that. Everybody could do that. That's how easy he makes it look. He gives me false confidence.
It's like he's doing it in slow motion. He knows as soon as the ball is released from the pitcher's hands that it's going to be an inch outside. Like, that's what it looks like. Whereas with you just made the Stanton joke, like he's already swinging when the ball's out of the hand.
Yeah. That's just something I've been thinking this week. Every time I see him, I'm just like, Jesus Christ, this guy fucking is so good.
That ball that he hit onto the highway right across the street from the strip clubs on Sunday. Yeah. That was a fun one. Bounced all the way to Mons Venus.
Yeah. Living the dream down there in Florida. Cole's all right. Cole's going to be all right for Soto.
It's hard. It's honestly hard to do the show and not just think about Cole. It's hard to do anything right now and not just have my brain go back to Cole.
I can do a lot of things and not think about Cole, but I know that that's what you've been thinking about all day.
It's tough. Look, because like even if this happens in July, right, it still sucks, but at least we would have had 2 to 3 months of fun. This is honestly just cruel. After the season essentially ending the first week of August last year, to come in and have this again on March 12th is just – it's depressing. There's no other way around. It feels like somebody's fucking with us.
Marcus Stroman, opening day starter.
Yeah, they might give it to him over Rodon. I mean, the problem is the pitching was already shaky as is. Like, they barely have 5 warm bodies, and now this.
I wouldn't even say shaky. Like, it's
it's bad.
It's still Cole and Prey.
No, it's Prey for Cole. Yeah. And if Cole is good, then it's Cole and Prey. And I've seen stuff on Twitter like, well, if Stroman goes back to 2019 and Rodon, it's like, is this Cashman's burner?
If my aunt peed standing up, she'd be my uncle.
Scary. Rodon's also got lit up the last time. Velo was down a little bit. This could be rotation could be ugly quickly.
So, you know, I'm still when it the Cole news kind of ramps up all the other concerns. Right. So like with Rodon, I've been like, whatever. He's a professional. He's been around. If he's physically there, he's been able to deliver, right? Like the issue hasn't always been that like he just stinks. It's been that like he's injured and he's either not there or he's injured and still playing and like can't do it all because he's injured. And there hasn't been sign of an injury. I think so I've just been trying to tell myself he's just ramping it back up. Get out there. You know, it's a little tough, I think, to like get excited when Mons Venus is across the street. You know, it's right. Not the same as, you know, Billy's being there. You know, it's not the same atmosphere.
No.
And, you know, that's a delusion that I've been trying to tell myself for 2 weeks.
Doing whatever he can. Yeah, no, look, it's really the thing is with Rodon, he doesn't even need to be the ace. Can he just show up and have like an ERA in the low 4s instead of fucking 7? Like, to me, the bar, I'm not hoping that he regains his 2021 form or whatever. I'm just hoping he can be a serviceable body that keeps him in some games. Cause the games he pitched last year were pretty much over in the second inning.
For Rodon?
Yeah.
For Rodon, I'm flexible. I'll go 4-2 and don't hit women.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that works. Stroman, I do think, is going to have a good year, but it's like if Cole's out, it doesn't matter anyway. It's almost a moot point.
Yeah, I mean, I think realistically we'll see when Cole's healthy, because he is. Cole, and we're going to see Stroman move his way up the rotation. I think like Rodon's going to start as the number 2 because like with the contract and there's like a certain amount of ego that you play into where Stroman is on like – you know, he had a good year last year, some injuries. He's kind of on a prove it deal because he's kind of, you know, he was the dick to the fans and whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he will be motivated to prove a lot of people who he recently unblocked wrong.
No, I hope so. Look, if he's not fired up now and he's not motivated now after embarrassing himself in every way last year, both pitching wise and personality wise, then he's never going to be fired up. So I think we'll see. Kind of what he's made of this year. God, this is hard. We've ever had I feel like we've always had these Judge injury podcasts, but we just got used to those and I kind of got numb to those. I'm not used to this.
No, I mean, yeah, Judge has been the injury. Like, yeah. You know, what he's got his contract, so people will stop getting mad at me for it. Like injury prone player. Whether it's his fault or not, there's still injuries. And like Stanton, we got numb to, like you just expect it. By the time that we lost Rizzo last year, like the writing was on the wall. So, you know, this has been the big, this has been the first time that it's like, fuck, this injury may really hurt us. And it's not Judge.
Yeah, and the other reason it stings is like, not that I want any of the other pitchers to get hurt, but essentially any other pitcher on this roster, Holmes, Schmidt, Rodon, take your pick. If this update happens to any of them, I probably shrug and keep scrolling. Like maybe I quote tweet and say, oh, this sucks, but like it does not move the needle for me emotionally at all. And this is the only guy that would happen to. And of course, that's who it happens to.
If it's Schmidt, maybe I quote tweet, go get Snell. But like, I probably don't even tweet about it.
It's Rodon. We're like, oh, here we go again. Fat loser. You know, then I'm over it.
Yeah.
Any of the relievers, you know, wouldn't really register. Yeah, no, this is the one thing you couldn't have happen. If it is, so let me do a hypothetical with you. So in 2014, Tanaka had a partially torn UCL.
I was in Vegas when that news broke. I know exactly where I was. I was at a work conference. I was sitting just like in a shitty fucking hotel conference room. Just like, I can't be here right now.
The air's so stuffy in those Vegas, hotels too.
And I was, I was at Barstool at the time. So I worked for a company that had a Boston office. We had like some Yankee fans who were there. So everyone's seeing it and everyone's just like kind of whispering to me like, what's going on? What's the deal with Tanaka? And it's like, I don't know. I'm fucking here with you.
I'm not in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
But, you know, Tanaka, he decided to rest and rehab. He did not get the surgery. He basically came back in 2 months. But as we all know, the velocity never came fully back. He kind of turned into the nibbler pitcher. He was not the ace that had a 1.6 or whatever before he got hurt. So
always battled when he didn't have his best stuff.
Great. If this happens to Garrett, my vote would be just go get it done now. And we'll see in the second half of 25. Is that how you feel? Or would you want to see maybe give him a shot the way that Tanaka did it?
I think it would depend on like the severity of it. Like I would need them to tell me in relation
partial
to Tanaka,
tear, partial, like, same thing,
exact same as Tanaka.
Yeah, exact same. He can probably come back without surgery, but he might not be pumping 98.
When does he come back?
You could have him guaranteed back July 4th of next year.
When's he come back if he doesn't, if he just rests?
He comes back in June this year and he's topping out at like 95 instead of 98.
I let him come back because it's the Soto year and I trust, and I trust him if he wants to.
All right. See, I figured we might disagree on that.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Soto year and I trust Cole. If Cole says he can do it and it's the exact same injury as Tanaka and I've seen Tanaka do it, then like, yeah, let's do it. And then maybe he blows his shit out still before the trade deadline.
Probably, yeah, that could happen, and then he'd come back anyway. The one thing, and you mentioned, like, not hearing a pop, but, like, I remember 21, Corey Kluber was on the mound. He, like, threw a pitch, screamed, and he was out for 3 months. Michael King, I was at the game in Baltimore 2 years ago, literally broke his arm on the mound. Those are, like, the definite, all right, we're fucked. The only thing that's giving me any semblance of hope is that this did not happen live in a game or even the day after. I mean, again, we're coming up on 10 days after the last start.
Yeah.
The only thing.
It's definitely concerning. But again, like the fact that he didn't just like leave the mound and this was an immediate thing makes me think like, it's getting better, but it hasn't gotten better the way they want. So like, we got to get a look at it.
Yeah. It sucks. The other thing that sucks about this is that it's going to be probably 3 to 4 days from seeing the initial tweet to us having any real information. That makes it torturous.
I'm going to be able to live the rest of my life like pretty normally. I know you're not going to be able to. No. Like it's going to be something like I'm thinking about. I'm in enough like text chains that like when it happens, like I'll get a text. So I don't have to worry about like, did I miss the tweet? Did I not get it? Like someone will text me and I'll know about it then. But I do understand that like you are probably not going to sleep well until you get this information.
And then maybe even worse when we actually get the information.
Yeah.
The other thing that scares me is like we've talked about this a lot when Judge gets hurt, but the Yankees, this group is not a mentally tough group. Some teams like the Braves, when they lost to Acuña, they rallied and went to the World Series. When the Yankees lose a start, like when Judge goes down, they would just rolled over and died and essentially waited for him to come off the IL. And that's another thing that scares me is this is not a resilient group that I can see battling through this. I could see that just taking the wind out of their sails and it deflates them and they're cooked.
Well, I think it's because you don't have like if the bleeding starts, who stops it? You know, years ago we had CeCe. Like, hey, if we lost, you know, two games in a row and CeCe was there, we weren't losing three. And even when our starters suck and maybe our lineup bails them out and the bullpen holds it, but like nothing impressive for 4 days, well, we've got Cole. And we don't have that right now. Like someone's going to have to step up. And the best option we have at stepping up right now is Marcus Stroman. Doesn't make you feel great.
Nobody has that high upside though to step up to a number one. Like the Yankees have a bunch of high floor, kind of low ceiling guy like Stroman and Nestor. They're like keep you in the game, solid number two or three guys. Even Schmidt, like Rodon's the only one that if he got back to form could actually be a number one. And nobody thinks that's going
to
happen.
I mean, the way the spring has started, yeah, it's tough to see that happen with Rodon. I think Stroman's a much better pitcher than Nestor Cortez, though. Okay. I think overall, like he's done it longer in You're his right. career. Nestor is still sort of flash in the pan because he has a hard time staying healthy. He went from like rubber arm, like Booney, I'm ready to go every day to like, my arm's tired a lot. What'd you think of his cleats?
So stupid. I'm not really into that stuff anyway, but the jeans, I don't even wear jeans. It wasn't my thing.
What do you mean you don't wear jeans?
I don't own a pair of jeans. I don't wear them.
So like, if you're going,
yeah, give me a scenario. I'll break it down.
It's Sunday. You're going over to Jamie's parents' house just to like have dinner.
Chinos, like khakis.
Your parents' house also khakis.
Yeah, and anything like that. Yeah, any kind of chino. They're more comfortable, and I just don't like jeans. I think it's because I wore them so much as a kid that I just got sick of them, and they're kind of heavy. I like to be light on my feet.
Interesting. I didn't wear jeans in high school.
And why, just for fashion, like you wanted to be cooler?
No, like I grew up in New York City. Like I'm always ready to play basketball. Like I always had a pair of gym shorts on and I was wearing like some kind of sweatpants. And I could at any point just be like, boom, game breaks out. Like I'm ready to go.
You got to stay light on your feet.
And like I went to public school. So like I would literally wear like baggy sweatpants. It was the style of the, I graduated high school in 2003. You got to remember.
Oh, so like, everything was baggy and oversized.
Yeah, oh yeah, dude. Yeah. And so I would just like, yeah, I'd show up to school and then I was just boom, sweatpants off. I'm in gym shorts all day. Like they're just sweatpants in my locker. And then, for baseball, twice a week starting in like November, like Thanksgiving, twice a week I'm there in the morning at like 6 a.m. I'm in sweatpants all day. Gym shorts all day. And then, yeah, I'm also ready to sneak into a gym class to play some extra gym. Like, yeah, just didn't wear them.
We both value versatility. That's why I'm always wearing LeBrons or Jordans in the cutoff hoodies. You never know when I'm going to have to go in.
Yeah, you are one of those, like, I wear real basketball sneakers as an adult man, which is a rough look at times. It's a rough look. Like, RDT, anytime I go to Baltimore, he's got, like, calf socks. He's been doing it for forever. I know it's, like, trendy now. Like my wife is trendy. So like she'll wear now, like you see her socks if she's wearing like workout stuff.
Oh, I don't really.
You're never going to see my socks. No one will ever see my socks ever again. No,
yeah, I'm an ankle sock guy. Yeah. No, but it's funny when you look at the old pictures of like an NFL or NBA draft from like 20 years ago and the suits literally look like costumes. Today, everything's super tight.
Yeah. There was a picture of Donald Trump with Roger Stone, who's like a political advisor, like criminal. Like they met over the weekend or whatever, and Roger Stone is wearing these pants. It looks like he got drafted in 2003 NBA draft, like Chris Bosh. These pants are so huge, but I was like, people may not get this if I tweet it.
Yeah, it's right at that age cutoff. I mean, I didn't know who Roger Stone was until you.
Yeah, you gotta just be paying attention to politics. He's decided every presidential race. Besides the 2020 election, pretty much
with his endorsement, or like he predicted.
No, like he's a like. There's a super interesting documentary on him that used to be on Netflix called "Get Me Roger Stone." Like he would, when Donald Trump would like run for president in the 80s and then drop out, like he would get Donald Trump to do that to like pull some votes away from other people to like then get. He manipulated so many things. Like really smart guy, got very criminal like later in life though.
Sounds like kind of an interesting
it's a super interesting documentary, like incredibly interesting.
You had texted me something today about, I think it was like Boone is the
5-1 odds on favorite to be fired first this season in Major League Baseball.
It's really interesting. Cashman has never fired a manager in season.
The Cole news does not help, because what do Yankee fans want? We want to win the World Series, right? If we're not going to win the World Series, we want fucking blood. Like, you know, last year when we knew we weren't going to win the World Series, we wanted everyone's got to go. Cashman is a, you know, Cashman is Cal on the Titanic, like holding a baby. Like I'm all she's got. You know, he's ready to get on a lifeboat. I think that if Cole is out, season's not going well. I think the season's not going well in general, but like if it's a situation where like Cole is out and it becomes like clear that we're not going to win the World Series, easy move to get rid of Cashman, bring in someone else and hope you get, or, you know, promote someone, hope you get one of those like Robbie Thompson, like, oh, we all banded together like the Phillies did and made it to the World Series.
I guess I still don't see any scenario where they fire him midseason. I also think the reason I hate this, another reason, many reasons I hate this injury, is that if it is worst case scenario, no matter what happens this year, Stanton could hit 0.40. They will blame everything on the Cole injury. Oh, we never had a shot, but this year when we get Cole back, like they will excuse everybody else's poor performance, any coaching issues, any other injuries, they're all going to come back to Cole. And you know it.
But these guys, yeah, well, because it would be true that if Cole is out, we don't stand a chance. But, you know, you said this team doesn't have a bunch of like pick myself up guys. They're not a pick yourself up team and go get. That is motivation from the manager. So if they are, okay, let's say regardless, whatever the situation is, right? Cole's out for the full year. Cole comes in late and he's not quite himself, whatever it is. And we're trending towards being, you know, we're in contention for fifth, sixth playoff spot, right? It's six now, right?
Yeah, six in each league, yeah.
So, you know, and it's going to be close at the end. So we're going to be anywhere between 5 and 9 in terms of like the rankings, right?
Yeah.
And it's going to take some wins to get to 5 or 6. You don't get rid of him in mid-August and bring someone in who's going to motivate, who, you know, maybe light a fire under them. Because he's also like, this is the last year of his contract.
Right, they wouldn't have to eat any money. No, I see
so if you decide you're not going to bring him back anyway, once you make the decision, hey, we're not going to bring him back, like, why not try a shot in the arm? Because the odds of, you know, Boone pulling a Hail Mary after we're trying to have the Cole Hail Mary in the Hail Mary season, we're triple Hail Maried, and you can't triple stamp and double stamp.
No, we're cooked at that point. I guess they'd have to be really desperate, but you're right. Cashman, that's Cashman's like last really scapegoat that he has. But this is the reason why last year when he was using the Rizzo concussion excuse in the judge's toe and injuries, I'm like, you had your ace all year pitching like a Cy Young level. All these years they've been making excuses about injuries, 20, 21, 22. You had your best player available the entire year. And I kept thinking it could be worse, guys. It could be worse, Cash. You know, you lost Rizzo for a month. Oh, no. And here you go. Here's the worst one.
Yeah. I mean, I just think like, a change is going to happen. I think this is, unless we win the World Series, I think this is Boone's last season.
Probably. And that would put us in a really weird spot with, I mean, they'll have, you know, 57 more years on Judge's deal and still a lot of, they'd be in a really weird, weird place.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Did want to, this wasn't on our little agenda sheet, something I just thought of, but there was an article by Joel Sherman a couple days ago, basically saying that Steve Swindle Jr. is going to be the next Hal. For those that don't know, or for those like intern Jack, you probably don't remember this, but Steve Swindle Sr. Was in line to be the Hal, and he got a DUI in 2006 or 2007. You can look that up if you want. And then George kind of cut him out of the family. And I think he got divorced from George's daughter, Jennifer. But it looks like Uncle Hal is bringing his nephew, Steve Jr., back into the fold. He's like, Jack, he's like one of our, he's like 33, 34 years old. So a lot of people were upset about this. I read the interview. He just seemed like a regular rich guy that's going to take over a baseball team. I don't think it'll really change anything, but curious if you had a reaction to that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. So to give everyone kind of the recap, Steve Swindle met Jennifer Steinbrenner in college at UNC, I think, and then like through a mutual friend ended up going to work, had a family, like worked for his family. They got married. He went to go work for George Steinbrenner's shipbuilding company. That's how like he made his money in the 80s. And I ran a tugboat company. So obviously he was next in line. So when that closed in like 95, now I'm kind of quickly reading a Wikipedia, he joined the Yankees. Then he became the general partner and chairman of the Yankees Global Enterprises. And he got a financial stake. And he helped with the Joe Torre extension in 2004. So in 2005, he was officially named to be Steinbrenner's successor.
That was a huge deal at the time.
It was a huge deal. We all knew who it was going to be because there was also like, it's not going to be Hank. Hank smoking cigarettes.
And Hal wasn't even on the radar.
Hal is no, because Hal Steinbrenner doesn't like baseball.
No.
He's not a baseball fan. He's no interest in it at all. So then he got a DUI in 2007. You know, on a
boat,
I think.
And that's when George's dementia was coming in. So it was this chaos. Like 2008, nobody really – 08 and 09, nobody really knew who was in charge.
Yeah, so like in 2007, he got the DUI, and 2 months later, they announced that they're separating.
Yes.
So he got the DUI. They bought out because he owned a part of the Yankees. It was like part of his deal.
Yeah.
They bought him out of it. And then Hal took over, you know, and since then he just hasn't been, you know, Hal's not interested in really running the Yankees. So if his son is, you know, a Yankee fan, like a baseball fan and is, you know, probably followed, you know, if you think about it, if he's in his younger 30s, like when he was a kid, his dad was going to run the Yankees.
He's
been around it, probably excited about it like that, you know. I'd rather this kid run it than Hal.
I would too. I'm just surprised. Like, I think Hal and Hank have multiple kids. Like, I'm surprised. I would think with how traditional and old school this family is that the next person isn't going to have the last name Steinbrenner. Like, that is surprising to me that it's not one of Hank or Hal's kids. I don't know if they have another brother or if it's two daughters and two sons that George had. But that did surprise me a little bit to go outside of the Steinbrenner name.
Well, and it's not like he's coming in out of nowhere. Like, he works for the team. Yeah. Like, yeah. He's been around. So,
whoever likes baseball the most is who I want, like, to your point.
Yeah, I don't, like, does Hal even have, like, sons? I know, like, you don't have to be a man to run, you know, a baseball team, but I do feel like that family probably leans more towards the sons running the day-to-day operations.
You think? All right, let's see. He's the, his two sisters, younger brother.
He's got two children.
Two daughters?
Yeah, he's got, yeah, it looks like he has two daughters. One from his first divorce, from his first marriage.
Oh, I didn't realize he was married twice.
He married two women named Christina.
He is,
but they spell
dude.
It differently.
Oh yeah, the first Christina number one he was with from 1990 to 2007. Oh, so he got married really young the first time. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
So I guess not. And then Hank's kids, I guess they're. It's probably not even a factor.
In 1990, he was 31 years old, so it's not really that young. But yeah.
Wow, he's already 60?
54.
Okay. Do you see how good I am at math?
It's concerning.
1990 is 30 years ago, dude. Over 30 years ago.
He was born in 69, so then 1 year to get to... Oh, no, so he was 21. Sorry.
All right, so he was born. All right, so you're bad at
math. I'm stupid. I'm running the Yankees now.
So we got
that.
Right.
I mean, Hank has kids. His son, George Steinbrenner IV, owns an IndyCar team. He runs Steinbrenner Racing.
Is that George Steinbrenner the four? He's okay.
Yeah, he is he's Steinbrenner Racing is, from my understanding, like pretty big in like IndyCar racing. Okay. So
they have so many. They have horses, they have everything, yeah. Man.
Well, that's what happened. That's just old steam. Like, there were steam builders, whatever the fuck that means, you know? Like, oh, we're a shipbuilder. Anyone who's got shipbuilder money has a lot of money.
Oh, dude, for sure. Do you know the one just trivia where this has been one of the most all over episodes? So Hank Steinbrenner did one deal. He had like 20 minutes of power. Do you know the one deal or transaction that he influenced or did?
No, what was it?
The big one. So after 2007, A-Rod won the MVP. He opted out, and Cashman was like, I'm done. Like, we don't need this guy. Let him go.
Because he opted out during the World Series.
And he was a pain in the ass, big time from 04 to 07. Hadn't done anything in the playoffs, and Cashman was ready to, like, move on and do a full rebuild. And Hank stepped in and said, no, when he breaks Barry Bonds' home run record, he needs to do it in pinstripes because we're going to see the windfall. We're building a new stadium, He gets popped with steroids, doesn't break the record anyway, and, you know, the rest is history. But, yeah, that was his one kind of in baseball operations influence that he had during the time when nobody knew who was in charge, basically.
And most cigarettes smoked in the new stadium. That's also a record he has. I think I'm number I'm top five on that.
Was it your dad, the old stadium that you always tell
that
story?
My dad got kicked out of the same game twice for smoking weed.
Right.
He had free tickets, got caught in the fucking walkway that used to be in like right center field.
Yeah, that little escalator.
So he was smoking, got thrown out, went around, you know, used to just go to the ticket office, another like $3, come back inside. And like, you know, you buy the cheapest ticket because he still has the first ticket. So he gets back to his seats with his friends. And then, you know, they were like, oh, you're back. We should go smoke again.
Have you ever gotten ejected from a pro game?
I have been asked to leave Tropicana Field.
Okay. Are you able to tell that story? Or
I don't even remember. I think I was just like drunk and yelling. It wasn't even a Yankee game. Like,
and there's only like 50 people there. So you stand
out. So I was just drunk. Yeah. Like I forget who, but like I was fucking with a first base coach. And they were like, you gotta stop. And then like, there's 12 people there. So I kept going. They were like, it was like the ninth inning. They were like, you should start headed towards the exit.
Oh, so it was a soft ejection.
Like, I'm not like banned from there or anything, but it was just like, you should probably start headed to the, and like my friends had jumped in and were like, we'll get going.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Hey, I mean, we are all going to be in wait and see mode the next you know, next Monday or next Tuesday when this comes out, we could be going a very different direction. I think my prediction is going to be it's going to be an in the middle. It's going to be like he's not out for the season, but it still sucks. I like that you're on the positive train. You're usually more negative than me about this stuff, so it's been kind of uplifting.
I got nothing else going on. Figure I'll be positive for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, in other baseball news, I'm happy Joey Votto's got a contract.
Yeah, non-roster invitee as a J. Him and IKF. They're IKF.
Well, I mean, we didn't really. I know you have to go, but we haven't really talked about like Judge. We didn't talk.
I got
about
five
Judge
more minutes. Go.
We didn't talk about Judge like at all.
Oh right. Judge. Yeah, he's also hurt. Yeah.
Yeah. But which like kind of makes me feel all right because like he's batting 140 and 14 at bats with no home runs. So I'd rather know like, oh, something was wrong than like he's just totally disappeared.
It's funny. It's like the Cole thing is so much more potentially disastrous and important that my brain can't even go there. It sounds like just a rest thing. He's just kind of banged up, spring beat up a couple of weeks. I can only worry. Like I only have so much capacity in my brain.
And they're also not saying like it's a thing. They're not being like it's a knee, it's a thing. Just like, I don't know, fucking tired. Probably tried too hard in spring training, like got here early, has been going at it every day. There's a lot of pressure, especially when like the new shiny thing's in town that's gonna break your salary record. So
And we also remember like maybe he's maturing a little bit, and like in 2019 he felt pain and just kept going until his ribs snapped. So this is maybe this is a maturing moment for 99.
Yeah. Or maybe that Peloton workout really got him.
Boone's also just a liar. It could definitely be some sort of actual thing, like you said, and they're just fucking lying. Like that's the other issue with all this stuff is like you just can't trust them. Like I trust Jack Curry or Andy Martino, all, you know, quoting sources than I do what Boone actually says out of his mouth.
Yeah, I trust Jack Curry, Andy Martino. I trust Michael Kay because Michael Kay is just like a dude from the Bronx and like he's goated, so he can say whatever the fuck he wants. He's never going to lose his job.
Do you see that picture of him and his dog? Like
fucking loved
rap
it. Loved it. It looked like an AI. At first I was like, is this AI? But he's good for him.
He's going to do this 10 more years. I could see him doing this until he's like 75.
Yeah, I think I had heard like there was a rumor of him maybe not doing his radio show for much longer, like having to do that every day. Because I'm sure he makes enough money, and now his kids get it. You know, his kids, he's got young kids.
Dude,
so
in the summer, he probably never sees them like at all.
Yeah. So like, you know, he never has to worry about money again. Can just do personal appearances if he wanted to. So if he cannot have to do a radio show every day all year, he could just do a podcast and call baseball games. Cause I think like he still genuinely wants to call he wanted to be the voice of the Yankees.
Yeah.
And you never want to give that up.
No. Cause you never give that up. Also a really random thing that I heard about that I didn't like. So I think Bob Shepard has the record for like most consecutive seasons as a in stadium PA guy. And like the Phillies guy is apparently like three years away from passing him or something. I heard him passing, and I'm like, not that I'm rooting for anything bad to happen to this guy, but I want Bob Shepard to keep that record. That's my guy. So we gotta be on the lookout for that.
By on the lookout for that, do you mean that we're gonna go kill this guy?
IJ, you know who Bob Shepard is?
I do, but the only reason I do is because when Jeter came out and like used his audio that one year.
The voice of God.
You see they're letting like flags and drums and stuff in the Miami Stadium.
Yeah,
they're going. I was like, Freddie Says did that first. And like nobody fucking knows who Freddie Says is.
I met him in person in 2009. Like he had to be at the end. It was game 6.
He was 100 years old.
He was like.
I think he died after the 2009 season.
Yeah, he got his last ring and that was it. And they let him in for free, right?
Yeah, I think so. Like he had been coming in for like a nickel for forever. So it was just like, you know, kind of like Fireman Ed. And he never got, you know, he was never like, oh, well, here's what I also need. He was just an old man wandering around, hid in a pot.
I'll be honest. I didn't see that tweet. I would have been all over it because I remember I've hit the pan or whatever. He had like a cooking spoon and a.
Yeah, like a metal cookie spoon and like a frying pan, essentially, or pot. Yeah, intern Jack, there was this guy, Freddie, and he just had a sign
okay
that said Freddie Says, and it had like something like 2009 Yankees are the best or like whatever it is, and he had it on a like when people protest and they have like the sign on a stick, but it was small. And then attached to that, he had a pan, and he walked around with like a spoon. He would just let kids hit it. Like, you just go, you get the spoon, you hit it. Everyone's having a great time. You'd hear it through the stadium. Nobody, like, everyone loved it. And, yeah, and then he died.
R.I.P. A lot of legends, man.
A lot of legends.
Really well-rounded episode today. This was good.
Pretty all over the place. But that's what happens when Cole might be dead. Yeah, short episode this week. Nick's got to travel, but we're back on our like Monday recording schedule now.
Smooth sailing from there.
So we'll be good to go. You can follow Nick on Twitter at NKirbyNYY. You can follow intern Jack. I still don't know. At Jack Feldman.
Jack Feldman 222. I got to change that.
Jack Feldman 222 42069. Follow me at JJ from the Bronx. Follow the show at George's Box Pod. Next week, we will take questions. And hopefully, you know, everything's fine with Cole. So Nick doesn't hang himself in a hotel room in Boston. We'll see you at the parade.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.